Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I've enjoyed this morning so much. I trust your faith has been strengthened. What an excellent way to think about why do we believe what we believe? Is there substance to what you believe? It's something I think that all of us, if we're honest, we have struggled with this question. Even if we were raised in the Christian faith from day one, there is still, we go through seasons possibly of that nagging question, what if I'm wrong? And my faith has been strengthened again today, even though I've been through these seasons in my life and these questions. But again, just renewing, yes, indeed. What a beautiful way to think about this. There is that Old Testament prophecies. We can validate that they were written before the time of Christ, as that man studied. And indeed, they were fulfilled. Many, many prophecies. So laying a strong foundation. Well, we've laid a foundation at one level, of course, already. And so we're going to maybe just build up a little bit from that. So what determines what type of foundation a builder will build? I'd like some help here today. I hope you're ready to talk. A builder's going to build whatever building. What determines the foundation that they need to build before they really get started with the actual visible building? Yes. Excellent. So we got the issue of how high the building is going to be. What else? All right. He goes by a blueprint. He doesn't just take a shot at it, does he? Engineers would be very disturbed by that idea, wouldn't they? How tall is the building? What else? Yeah, environment, absolutely. The type of soil would really matter here, wouldn't it? What's it like once you go 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet? What is it like? Somewhat even determines it. So the type of building that you're going to build determines the importance of the foundation or the quality of the foundation. So I would like to encourage you young people to think about this. What type of life you want to build moving forward is going to affect how valuable you believe a foundation for your life is. If you don't have much of a vision for your life, what you want to be, what kind of a man you want to be in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, what kind of a woman you want to be, if you don't have any vision for that, then you maybe aren't thinking too much about what kind of a foundation am I building right now. I really want to encourage you young people to think about this. The foundation that you are willing to build and invest in is directly connected to your dreams of what you hope to be. So if a builder is going to build, obviously, a small structure, not much of an ambition here, not to talk against small structures, but obviously the foundation is built accordingly. What you don't see, the work that was done below the surface, is minimal. Did a little bit of quick check-in on this. The Salesforce Tower, which is in San Francisco, is 1,070 feet tall, high. This is a tremendous structure. What vision went into this? Well, of course, the foundation is proportional or accordingly. Anybody want to even guess? How deep do you think this foundation might be? Unless you know something about construction and building skyscrapers, you would have no idea. I wouldn't have either, really. Anybody want to guess? I saw some mouths going, huh? 500 feet. Five silos down. Not too far off. It's 300. A little over 300, I believe. 310. Wow. So, what's going into the foundation of your life? Are you willing to spend time developing a deep foundation? Or are we just worried about what's up here, what people are seeing? And I know all drawings, all word pictures, and the Bible gives us beautiful word pictures, are all subject to, well, it doesn't quite hold out in this way or that way. But one reason they need to go so deep is they need to get down to some really solid bedrock, don't they? And I would like to think of that as what Chuck talked about this morning. We must build on truth. What is truth? And settle in our minds, even though we'll go through seasons of question, but we can always come back to, what is truth? That is a foundational question. Who asked that in the Bible? What is truth? Maybe he said it glibly, maybe he said it sincerely. People think differently about that. How sincere he was, it doesn't really matter. It was a good question. And it's a question that you wrestle with at a deep, deep level, and we're often afraid to talk about that we're struggling with this question. Because we're not supposed to. But we do. But we want to come back to answering it correctly because your life hangs on it. What is truth? Who asked that question? Pilate. What is truth? And so Brother Chuck so ably explained, what is truth? It is Jesus Christ. It is a fulfillment of the prophecies. It is God the Creator, the resurrection then of Jesus for our redemption. That is truth. And now, what do we build? Even that is not so visible. What do we build as foundation to a good life? I think a lot of this has to do with our belief systems. What we really believe, not only about settling the question, is the Bible true? But there's things that are maybe closer to the surface that we want to look at today. Young people, I care passionately about this. I've taught school for many years. My oldest students now are, they feel like they're my age because I started teaching in 89. And so I think back of the many, many students I taught through the years. And you know what? Over and over again, I can think back to the foundation they were laying in school and how that has affected who they are today. Some of them, of course, are preachers. And I've taught the next generation. They're grown up. I think the first one of my former students' children just got married the other month. So it makes me feel a little old. But I can think back of the foundations I saw them putting in place in school. And yes, there are people who shifted in ways that I never saw, who I thought they were building a good foundation. They seem to be young people of integrity. And what happened? We don't, you know, understand what I'm asking. What? I never thought they would. And other times, it looked pretty unstable. And somehow, God got a hold of their lives. They gave their lives to God. And they built a strong foundation and lived a life of integrity for God's glory. But most students are on the path they were on when they were young. And that impresses me. As I think back of probably a few hundred students I would have taught through the years, repeatedly, the path they were on is the path they continued on. So that's why I care so much. That's why God cares so much. What are you doing with your life now as a young person? What foundation are you laying in this time of your life? Of course, there's fruit already. But what are we doing with our life here? Because what we do here puts us on a path that is difficult to change. Although it can change. If we're going in a wrong direction, of course the power and grace of God can change it. But do that while you're young. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't deceive yourself. So, yes, I'm not going to really go into this foundation question. I think it was just covered so well. I want to think a little bit about one of the foundational things at this level is, what do you believe about who God is? And I'm going to illustrate this with a circle. And I would like you to give me some characteristics of who God is. Now, before we do that, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 6, and I might have you read some verses for me as we go along, but I'd like to first of all go to Hebrews chapter 6 and look at one verse, because this verse, I think, talks about sort of two components of our faith. Hebrews chapter 6. So, I think we would all agree, no matter how well Chuck would teach what he taught, we still need faith. We still need faith. You do not need faith that I exist. Here I am, right? You can see me. I can prove it at a level where you need no faith. Well, the Bible says, after all the proofs of looking at the Old Testament and the fulfillment into the New Testament, we still need faith. All right? Because faith is inherently faith. A choosing to believe that which we do not see, even though beyond any reasonable doubt, this is truth. Beyond any reasonable doubt. But there still is the component of faith. The Bible says this repeatedly and calls us to the choice of faith. So Hebrews chapter, where's my verse? Here it is. 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. We have to choose to believe what we heard this morning is right, or you won't please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. All right, that's what we tried to nail down this morning. God is. What the Bible says is true. But here's the other part that we struggle with as well. In fact, we struggle with this more. And so my focus is going to be a little more on the second half of the verse. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's where we tend to stumble. Oh yes, I believe that God, this is true. But what he says about who God is, not that he is. Understand the difference? You must believe that he is, but now you must also believe in who he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you ever struggle, young people, with believing that God is who he is? And he will reward you if you diligently seek him? Oh, we can say God loves people. Reminds me of one pastor who said, I taught people for years how much God loves them until I finally got a hold of it myself. He loves me. See, it's possible to do this. It's possible to tell people, of course God loves you, of course God. And yet, I struggle with it myself. Oh, me. Well, not me. We must believe who he is and who he says he is. Now, give me some characteristics of God. What does the Bible say? Who is God? Light. Is that what you said, right? Yes. Light. What else? Give me characteristics. Call them out. Unchanging. I'm not going to write all of these out. I'll just use some dashes. Unchanging. Number one, I'm a bad speller, plus I'm in a hurry. What else? Holy. Yes. And? Faithful. And? Love. And? Everlasting. He's a jealous God. Which one of these do we see bumper stickers about? God is love. Smile. God loves you. You okay with that bumper sticker? You want people who are following you to be driving down the road and, hey, smile, God loves you. Hey, that's right, God loves me. Oh, wow, I'm so glad somebody loves me. I believe this is foundational to who you become as to who you believe God is. Not only that he is, but who is he? What is he like? And I want to say this very kindly. what we believe, who we believe God is somewhat connected to, very much connected to, who we perceive our Father to be. And I just want to acknowledge that. As we wrestle, not as 5-6-year-olds, oh no, not as 8-10-year-olds, no, as young people, as people who can think through this at a different level than little children can think through this, we start to grapple, who is God? Go out at night, look up into the stars. Who is God? What is God thinking about me? Does he really care? So if we would pull one of these out and write this up here as somewhat what ties these all together, the word you choose matters. Let me throw another word or two up here. God is a judge. God is severe with sin. Which word in American Christianity, and I want to, again, be careful that I don't say things that are unkind or judgmental. Let's just say, obviously the word we pull out is love, right? God is love. Smile, God loves you. As the defining characteristic of God, he is love. Can we make sense of all these other words if that's a word that we pull out? God is a judge. God is light. He's unchanging. He's faithful. Can anybody suggest, I would like to suggest, that the Bible lifts another characteristic of God as the permeating characteristic of God? Now, I know you're afraid to say. Yes, that's what I believe. It is the biblical perspective on this. And I'm not saying this is the best drawing or this is, but to me, as I try to understand, who is God? How do I make sense of the Old Testament and God's judgment on sin? And at times in the New Testament. But then of Jesus Christ and the long suffering. God is holy. God can show us his love because of the sacrifice of Christ, because it satisfied his holiness. And when we get caught up in this modern, well, God is love. Oh, God loves you. Just feel, you know, just charmed by the love of God. We get confused when we read the Bible and we see the judgment of God on sin. But I think when we understand and focus on God being a holy God, we can understand the love of God because his holiness is satisfied through the sacrifice of Christ. God is a jealous God. God is a severe God on sin, but endlessly merciful to those who accept him. And I think, again, we come back to this word, holy. God is holy. Just want to encourage you to think about, what do you believe about God? Because what you believe affects the decisions that you make, how you live your life, how you think of God. The choices you make are very much so tied to who you really think God is, and I think increasingly so. And again, I would like to think that is such a foundational part of your thinking, built on truth. Well, let's look at a few more practical things, and this maybe feels like we're getting up a little high on the foundation, but I still would like to consider these as some foundational things. Someone said this recently. If you don't change direction, you'll end up where you're going. Pretty simple, but I like that. If you don't change direction, you will end up where you're going. Well, that suggests that right now you are already on a path. You are already moving. You have momentum. And if you don't change, you'll end up where you're going. This is pretty simple to understand, isn't it? If I'm driving down the road and I don't turn the steering wheel, I will keep going straight to whatever I'm heading for. Do you like where you're going? Do you like where you're headed? If you keep going where you're going, the path you're on, is that what you want? See, young people, we deceive ourselves that we will change soon. I'm just about ready. Now, maybe you don't struggle with this, but I sure know what this feels like. I'm just about ready to get serious with God. I mean, really soon. I mean, maybe even next week. It's sort of like going on a diet, right? You know, I think, yeah, I'm starting tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm just ready to change my eating habits. But, you know, it's the weekend. Got some, you know, a lot going on. So Monday. That'd be a good time to start. Disciplined. I'm not, you know, that's it. See, it's just, I'm just about ready. Can we do this in a spiritual way? I'm just about ready. My schedule's really busy right now, and, you know, a couple other things. But I'm really about ready to really get serious about reading the Bible. And I mean, I am going to get up. I'm getting up at 5:30 every morning. I'm reading my Bible, and I'm going to really get this, you know. Maybe I say this partly because I have quite a few children, and we talk about this. You know. So, all right. Sorry, a few of them are here. But I know what this is like. Of course. Don't deceive yourself into believing. You can spend weeks, months, years as a young person. You're young only once. What a way to think about this. You're young only once. You're right, you're young only once. Don't blow it. Lay a strong foundation now. Don't believe that, well, soon I will start to read my Bible and really pray. Soon I'll, the disciplines of life. I'm just about ready. And we can comfort ourselves in believing that we're just on the verge of doing better. Getting serious. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can't really tell. Some of you do. I'm talking to you if you do. If you don't, well, God bless you. If you're beyond ever struggling with that. I want to encourage you to think of it as an opportunity while you're now to build that strong foundation. I can testify in my 50s, it is hard to change. It is so hard to change. It is extremely difficult to change the habits of life and the patterns of life because we do them over and over. And we'll talk about some of that in a different session. How God made us that we fall in those patterns. And if we develop bad habits, bad ways of thinking, bad discipline in our youth, it is difficult to change. Of course God can change it. That's what God's power and grace is all about. But what a presumptuous thing to say is that, well, I'll just keep living this way, but one day. And again, I started thinking back of students. I have a few students who no longer are living. One was killed in a tragic accident here a few years ago. Fortunately, he was not laying a strong foundation. It was quite a struggle in school, his attitudes, behaviors, whatever, and he was in a high-speed motorcycle accident. His life was taken. No reason to believe that he had any faith in God whatsoever. Another student, she was swimming, just locally here. This happened, 10, 15 years ago now, and I'd had her just the school year before, and it seemed, at least as far as we know, she was walking with the Lord. Beautiful testimony, and she drowned. And I just think of those viewings I was at and the difference. And I think back to their school. And what foundation were they laying in school? Their opportunity, of course, is gone. I don't say that to scare us. It's just the reality. We do not know what life will bring. And the older you get, of course, the more we think about this. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 1. Would I have a volunteer to read this for us, please? Part of our foundation is getting our roots in the Word. And I'd like to just think of this from a slight different illustration. Again, the Bible puts these tremendous word pictures in our mind. And so rather than a building, I'm going to shift to what Psalm chapter 1 says. Would somebody read this, please? Thank you.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Thank you so much. So now, this word picture is, of course, of a tree. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about the fruit, don't we? What kind of fruit is your life bearing? But we know that the truth is a tree brings forth fruit according to its kind. It is true to who it is. Now the Bible talks about this. The Bible says a tree is going to give fruit according to what it is. What else does the Bible talk about in James? To give us another word picture that ultimately the surface is an indication of something deeper. What else? James chapter 3 talks about a fountain. So now we have a word picture of the water that is produced and the well. And the question is there a disparity between these two? The roots into truth, which is, again, what we heard this morning. What is truth? Is that where our roots are? Well, we can only become this beautiful tree if we put our roots down into truth. If you spend time in the Word, dear young people, don't wait and say, well, one day I'll have more time to read the Word. I'll have time to study the Word. I'll have time to have my personal devotions. But now, I mean, I got to get up early, and, you know, I'm tired because, well, you know, I'm just tired all the time, and I got to get to work early. You will develop a habit of ignoring this part of your life or this part of your life. Don't say, well, one day I'll get started. No, please start tomorrow morning, Monday morning, no later than Monday morning. But I have done this way too many times. All right, I'm going to set my alarm. I'm going to whatever. I must get into the Word more. I must have more time to pray. I must put my roots deeper. I'm just, you know, I'm struggling up here. But no, but we must take it seriously. We must put our roots deep. If we don't, we are spending time just stapling on fruits. Stapling on fruits. They're not a true picture or result of what we believe or the Word. We are rather just looking good, trying to make people think it's all okay. And whoops, try to take that one away. Do a little better, staple in this fruit, look good on the outside. We talk a lot about this, don't we? What we do, what we say, and it is important, but it is indicative as to what's going on and the foundation of our life. I'd like to look at James briefly to just look at how logically he lays out these two word pictures for us. James chapter 3, I just want to read a few verses. It's chapter 4, verse 10. Out of the same mouth, he's talking about what we say now, cometh blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Then he uses logic here. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? He says, this doesn't even make sense. This isn't logical. One time you turn on the faucet and it's good water, and the next time it's bad. This doesn't make any sense because obviously it's the same well. How can you end up with such a diverse type of water if it's coming from the same fountain? And then he uses another one in case you're still not convinced. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain yield both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Well, you know that today they have figured out how to change the water at the spigot and the water in the well. Right? You go to Martin Water Conditioning, they can take some pretty trashy wells, and with enough of money and filters and lights, you can turn on the spigot and have good water. Do you know what? That's exactly what we think we can do sometimes. We can have some corruption in our well. We can have a poor foundation of our thinking and our disciplines and our belief system. But through self-discipline, I can put this filter right here between what's in my heart and what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And I can produce these good fruits, these good works. But at a deep level, still corrupt. Well, we can't do that before God, can we? At the end of the day, the fruits of our life will be a product of who we are below the surface. What we do and say will be a product of the well of our life. Time to pray. Fasting. These are maybe a little, again, more surface. I'm guessing that many of us would be a little embarrassed if I would hand out little cards and I would say, I would like you to give me the amount of time you have spent reading the Bible and praying in the last month. Just give me an average for the day of dedicated time to pray, free from distractions, away from your phone, away from everything. Just dedicated time to pray. And also how much time you spent reading the Word of God. Most of us would say, well, next week, I've been really busy. See, here we are again, caught, aren't we? See, we want to do better, but we can just live our life that way, where we just kind of push it off. Another saying I remember having in school years ago, what you are to be, you are now becoming. And again, I can't stress that too much. What you are to be, you are now becoming. And if it's not what you want to become, let's change it now, rather than develop more habits and more patterns of poor whatever it is. This can be the self-disciplines. And again, I just urge you, young people, the self-disciplines in some ways are so foundational to your life. There's people who grow up lacking their self-disciplines, and they still can't get out of bed. They still don't spend their money wisely because they just have such a pattern of poor foundation that they developed when they were young. Another part of a foundation, I think, is simply developing a life of sacrifice and service. See, it's easy, young people, again, to believe I'm young only once. I hear this a lot with young people. I want to have fun. I'm young once. I want to do God. I want to live life full. Well, of course you want to live life full. But the best way to live it full is to live for God and for others rather than living your life selfishly. I think we get caught in this whole thing of I will serve God later. I mean, I admire these missionary books I read. I admire these people who went and gave their life. But now I'm young. I just want to experience just a lot of fun stuff before I get married and settle down. You know, you will take that habit with you all through life. I've said this already. We spent some time in the mission field in South America, our family, a number of years ago. And this impressed me. Going to the mission field does not make you a missionary. Okay? Going to the mission field does not make you a missionary. You will take yourself with you wherever you go. I see people nodding their heads. You've done the same thing you found out. If you're an undisciplined person and selfish, you will be selfish on the mission field. Oh, you may have a little wave of excitement when you hit the foreign soil and you get caught up with, you know, the energy and the idea and the people around you. But at the end of the day, we take ourselves with us. I sure did. I took my problems in my suitcase, and I took them right down to Columbia and unpacked them right there. I faced the same challenges there. Because the habits we have now are the habits we take with us. Matthew talks about this whole concept of being great, wanting a great life. What did the Gentiles think would give you a great life? Anybody know? Well, back to the Gentile. Think of it as a Gentile mentality of greatness. What did they think? Power. Power. People looking at me. People thinking I'm great. Being able to tell other people what to do. And Jesus just takes that whole thing and just completely turns it upside down. He says, if you want to be great, and nobody but outside of the Christian context can think this way or believe it. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, be a what? Servant. Be a servant. Dear young people, be a servant. Serve your family. Serve your church. Serve your neighbors. Make that a habit. Build that into your foundation of a servant mentality. Just helping others, blessing others in a quiet way. Because that is greatness in the kingdom of God. Well, God bless you, young people, and all of us. Let's not wait to build a foundation till we're older. Let's remember what we are doing with our everyday's opportunities, everyday's that God gives us to build our foundations, to build them well, and then we reap those blessings in years to come. Thank you for your attention.